This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
A big wedding, The Sound of Music, and oh my God, the clothes. This is episode 6 and 7 of Four Weddings and a Funeral, right here at AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, AfterBuzzers! Welcome back. This is the Four Weddings and a Funeral After Show. I am one of your hosts, Nikki Bailey. I am joined to my right. Left. Marielle Turner.
Hey, guys.
We are also joined by our very gorgeous Eric Sinsley.
What's up, guys?
And our amazing special guest, Mr. Salvador Perez.
Hey, everybody.
Guys, Salvador is the costume designer for Four Weddings and a Funeral. Y'all, we about to talk about it. I cannot tell you how excited I am about this. The clothes on this show blow my mind.
Amazing.
Okay, so look, we're going to jump right in. We're covering 2 episodes and a guest interview today. We have a lot to get through. Keep breathing. Guys, general impressions of the 2 episodes. What do we think about where we are in the story right now?
I'm really loving it. I'm glad there was some progress, especially in episode 7 when it comes to Maya and Cash. It's been long awaited, so for that to finally flourish, I'm super excited about it.
Lots of kissing. We got some nudity in episode 7,
which
I was not expecting, and I feel like I could predict the next weddings, but I'm not going to say just yet.
Right. Well, we'll hold off until our predictions. Salvador, you know where the story's going.
Yes.
But do you want to comment on episode 6 and 7 at all? Like, just give us a little...
I think the show is called Four Weddings and a Funeral, so one of my points as a costume designer was worried about the weddings. And so on top of everything else I had to do on the show and all of the clothes they had, there was always a wedding in every block. So it's sort of like the two of them are down. It's just like, whew.
Yes. So we've already had 2 weddings and a funeral.
And a funeral, sadly.
So we're still owed 2 weddings, and I'm about it. So let's talk about episode 6, entitled Lights, Camera, Wedding. So Zara came back. And Craig and Zara got married. It was ridiculous. And I loved every second.
It was insane. I'm just like, of course this was sponsored by Hotels.com. Yes. Because how else could you have, like, these crazy ice sculptures and their cake? Like, it was just so over the top. But I think because it's reality TV, or supposed to be, it's very fitting.
And we shot that for 10 days. I mean, it was a
Because
we shot the exterior, and of course, you shot the exterior before you shot the interior, and it was like 30 degrees, and I have girls in strappy gowns and extras, and it was the coldest day coldest 3 nights of shooting, and then like 2 weeks later, we shot the interior, and it was beautiful and sunny and perfect.
Of course. But we also shot as it goes.
And we shot it in, you know, an ancient home that was Queen Elizabeth lived there when she was a little girl.
Wow.
And we have this massive train and veil, and it took like 12 costumers across literally a dirt moat then to get it onto set and then unravel it each time.
The drama of it all, I am here for it.
My rom-com cliche favorite of the wedding was when Zara and Craig were talking about the guest list. And it was a total Sex and the City, the movie, moment between Big and Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
You know, agreed. And then during the wedding, the funniest part to me was when production would step in and duck and say cut, and the dancers, the what are they called?
The stand-ins.
The stunt
doubles. The stunt doubles. Yes, that was awesome. And then the part when Duffy was giving his toast and
Ainsley showed up.
Yes, yeah. and then the production, the director of the show was like, and we will cut that out in post.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so much good stuff to talk about in this episode. Let's just really quickly hit our main characters so that we can just see where we are with them. Maya and Duffy. Guys, first of all, I wasn't here to talk about last week's episodes, but I want you all to know that I was freaking out with the whole letter in the pocket thing. I am really glad that he found out. Like, I'm glad that someone was honest with him. Someone was able to help him see that that was not his letter.
And it was Gemma.
And it was Gemma.
Of course. She's always, like, the character of honesty, I feel like. There's no filter.
I love Gemma. I think she is one of my favorite characters because she's so unexpectedly wonderful, unexpectedly witty. And Salvador earlier today when we first met was saying that, you know, she's like the dowager on Downton Abbey.
Absolutely.
She's like the young dowager, and it's so fitting. I love it. I love her. What did you guys think of the whole... one of the things that I thought was so super hilarious was when Zara said to Maya, you can't be a bridesmaid because you're too pretty. I don't want another Pippa situation.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, since we have the costume designer here, let's talk about, like, the blingosity of the wedding, right? The blingosity... Was there anything for you guys that you were just like... I mean, it was all
over the top.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was wonderful. Was there anything that you were like, what? I can't believe it.
I think having the hotels.com on her dress, and I would love if you could, like, explain that a bit, because...
I get this call from the production. They're like, how long is the veil of the dress? I'm like, I don't know, 20 feet. They're like, no, it's got to be the exact length of the... I'm like, what's going on? And they didn't give me all the details. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, by the way, there's got to be a logo put on. I'm like, what? So it was sort of like piecemeal. But of course, we got sponsored by hotels.com, and part of the deal is that we had to have Captain Obvious and their logo featured in the show. And then I remember a conversation with Mindy about the wedding. I'm like, oh my God, this is totally my fault. Priyanka Chopra got married to one of the Jonas Brothers. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the videos of that?
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to do that for the wedding. but with cherubs. And then Mindy's like, and it should have a logo. I'm like, yeah, a logo. I'm like, oh my God, this is totally my fault. So they sold an advertising sponsor on it. And it dictated how we did it.
What Priyanka should have thought of. She should have had sponsors for her wedding as well. Come on, get it together, people.
And originally, I don't know if you even see them on camera, there's two cherubs at the back of the train.
Yes, we saw
them. There were supposed to be six.
Oh, wow.
And then there's no room for them. And then, if you have a video on my Instagram of us with the train in my big warehouse that was huge, and the train is beautiful, and it flows beautifully on cement, not so beautifully on carpet. Mm-hmm. And so we did the first take, and she's like, I can't move. Then we like brought it, because we didn't have any more cherubs, so I brought in the cherubs and the bridesmaids to haul that train down the aisle.
Wow. Oh my gosh. It was so insane, but so it was so exactly what reality television should be, and mm-hmm. so exactly what a television show about, like, the cliches of rom-com should be, and it was done so beautifully and magnificently. But I want to talk a little bit about where the characters go in this episode, because we've got Craig and Zara getting married, which is awesome, and we were shipping them. We knew they were going to get back together. But what about Bashir and Fatima?
It's very sweet.
I'm here for it. I was not expecting it at first. But then it just kind of makes sense. She's, you know, the pretty, smart girl, and he's kind of the goofy but funny guy, and opposites attract. And mm-hmm. it just worked.
Yeah. So I have a thing for Guz Khan, who plays Bashir. He's an amazing comedian. He's so brilliant. I was from the very first, I was like, they're going to be together. I just knew it.
Oh, you knew it?
Really? I just knew it, yeah.
I would say maybe by... like halfway through that courtship, I was like, clearly she's not going to be with Cash. And it seems like they just had a chemistry, yeah. you know, like their personalities meshed way more, I think. So,
and his him with the grandmother, with Nami, like, come on, you yeah. get on a woman's grandmother's good side. That's
yeah.
happening.
Yeah, that's all you need. You're yeah. good after that.
And, you know, you feed her cake, come on.
What do you I'm want? Saying, that helps, right?
I was also surprised, though, how Fatima told Cash that she wasn't feeling it. I forget exactly what she said, but saying something like, you zone out, or she kind of does.
You're kind of a loser.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said.
She wasn't holding back.
Yeah. She's like, you're moody, and I loved it.
But she's never held back. Even, like, the first time she met him, you know, like, we all know about your drama. We know the tea. And I think that's great about her is that, you know, there's this modern Muslim girl in London who is just like, this is life, and I'm going to call you on your stuff.
Yeah. And yet wants to do the traditional way, but is still just as modern, just as sort of opinionated as any other modern woman. So I love that. And I love that we're seeing so many positive portrayals of Muslims in television on Hulu. So, all right, Hulu, do the damn thing. So let's talk about Ainsley not going to the wedding. And Bryce being the one who calls her out on it.
I mean, that's the second character of the show who has not initially wanted to show up for something. It was Maya for the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And it always seems like Duffy is the one who encourages what needs to happen and what the right thing is to do. But you're right, it is eventually Bryce who convinces her to go. And she went and painted
still looking fabulous.
She looked beautiful.
She looked gorgeous.
I mean, look, it was like that whole, like, well, she has to look sloppy, but fabulous. And
right.
It's a $400 scarf in her hair, you know.
Wow.
Wow.
I think it was like Pig and Thistle, some like fabulous scarf from Joseph's in Notting Hill.
I want to just hang out in your closet. I just, oh my God.
It's all at Ainsley, at Rebecca's house.
Oh, I want.
Did she get
all? A lot. The nicest compliment I got is that all of the cast bought their clothes. They didn't allow them to take all of it, but even like this dude was like, we've never had this before. I'm like, you're welcome.
Wow.
I mean, and both Nikesh and Brandon wore the suits they bought from the show to premieres.
Wow.
Like, this is the nicest suit I have at home. I'm like, you know, and I went to dinner with Natalie the other day, and she was wearing all the jewelry. She took all the jewelry.
Wow.
That is a big testament.
That really is.
That is the nicest compliment you can get is when they want, because after wearing it for months and months, they still want to take it home.
Yeah.
You guys are getting all the scoop.
All the scoop.
Right.
Man. So Duffy, of course, falls apart, loses it. Gemma is the one who sort of says, I don't think this letter is for you. And then Duffy goes back into the wedding and sees that Cash and Maya are arguing.
Having a moment. Yeah.
And he knows. So, at this point, were you thinking it's going to go down tonight? Like, something's going to, like, I don't know. I felt like, I was thinking, all right, Duffy is, like, obviously seeing what's going on here. Is he gonna like confront her? So I felt like when Duffy meets Maya in front of the wedding, I thought he was gonna, you know, really confront her. I was actually a little disappointed that he didn't.
At the end of the night?
At the end of the wedding. Well, I mean, he did.
But they're still friends, and they've been friends for a long time. So it's like, if you hate her and never want to see her again, that's one thing. But I think that there's this long term, you know, this is family.
Yeah. I don't know. He calls her out on it, tells her that he knows.
And she's asking him to come back, Duffy, and he keeps going. So
yeah, I guess he did.
He was obviously butthurt, as one would be.
He was butthurt.
I mean, he realized it, giving that awful toast.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I liked, though, that he did mention Ainsley in that conversation. Ooh. Just because, as much as I love
jab.
Yeah, like, as much as I love Cash and Maya, we can't forget that, like, Ainsley is a part of that scenario as well. So, but yeah, he was definitely in his feelings about it.
That was an ouchy moment when he was like, I would never do that to Ainsley. Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Not picking you. I'm not picking you. I'm picking
you. Man. So, okay. The sad singles table.
Gemma.
Gemma and Maya at the sad singles table.
And you didn't get to see the other six sad single ladies that I got to dress badly.
We got to see only a couple of them, yeah. But I was like, I was the one with the, like, I just saw myself in these sad single ladies, the one with the purple, like, feathery thing around her. I was like, yeah, that's my fashion taste. I would.
But it was, and it's all written specifically, like, one girl is FaceTiming with her goldfish. I mean, it was, and that's all Mindy. Mindy's hysterical.
Oh my god, I love that so much. So, who else do we need to cover in this episode? Because I feel like I'm pushing us quickly through this because I want to spend real time with Salvador, but I also don't want to miss anything important.
I think basically we're continually to see that Cash and Maya are having something, mm-hmm. and then I think we transition into episode 7.
Yeah, definitely. I also thought it was a really lovely moment when Maya and Gemma are having that conversation and Gemma admits how sad she was that she was missing Quentin.
Yeah.
And pointing out the guy in the Beetlejuice suit, you know? So, I thought that was a really, even in the midst of her sadness, she's still witty and hilarious and able to make, pointed
conversation. Gotta love her.
I love Gemma. She's that, best friend. She's, that friend who you're, a little afraid of how catty she is, but also love it. You want her to sit next to you.
I'm his Gemma.
Yes, 100%.
I haven't figured out if he's Ainsley or Maya yet, though.
We actually talked about this. We talked about, we need to figure out who we are. Who's who on the show. So you're not sure if he's an Ainsley or a Maya? Eric, do you feel more Ainsley or Maya?
I could see both. Maya's a little bit more quiet and tamed. And Ainsley's
decorative yet practical.
There you have it.
There it is. Mm. How about you, Mario?
Oh, that's hard. I would say I'm probably... Oh, but see, Maya slept with a married man. I don't know if I... That's crossing the line for me. I have to think about it, honestly. All right. I have to give it some thought.
I'm pretty sure I'm Duffy. I want to be Ainsley. I want the whole fierceness of her whole entire situation. But in reality, there's just enough crazy and sentimentality here. I'm all Duffy all the way.
Yeah, but you got some feistiness too. You got some Ainsley feisty.
I do.
Traits.
But I can't pull off that skirt. But we'll get to that. So, episode 7 was entitled The Sound of Music. The Hills Are Alive.
Which, by the way, I was in that show in the 4th grade.
Who were you?
Liesl.
I was someone not nearly as important. I was a puppet, and I was a tumbler at the street fair, whatever.
Cute. So in the scene with the puppets,
but I know all the songs.
The lady, you were one of the puppets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, I love
it.
Is there video of this?
I'm not sure.
We'll get you some video, guys. We're going to call Eric's mom. So, episode 7. So, Cash gets cast in a community theater production of The Sound of Music.
Which was his theater back when he was a kid.
That helped him realize that he loved acting. So, we saw a few episodes back that, Cash on stage, and he's such a great actor. And I love that he gets this role, and he not only dives into, his acting thing, but he also is taking care of the community. And so he creates this fundraising video to get people interested.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends it to Maya, among other people, but he sends it to Maya.
Which she watches and then closes the laptop, and then later on he sends another one. And you can just see it in her eyes that she's smitten.
I feel like he can't resist. I feel like he's painting himself as forbidden fruit and kind of hanging it in front of Maya's face. You want this.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt about that scene.
I do too, but I'm okay with it. I feel like he knows they're meant to be, and this is what I'm saying, they're meant to be. He knows they're meant to be,
destiny.
And it's destiny.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'm going to just go ahead and push it, and I'm okay with that. I loved it. I think that, we won't get ahead of ourselves. Okay.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.com. FM to get started.
So let's talk about poor Duffy. Bless his little heart.
The Duffster.
He gave himself a makeover and went shopping.
Okay.
Yeah. The blazer.
Before he did that, he was house sitting for Duffy, for Craig.
He was on a bender.
Losing it. Yeah, and I love that the reason that Gemma finds out that he was on a bender is that she looks at her son's test that has ridiculous questions on it. And she goes to confront him, sees that he's all, like, a mess.
She then goes and reports Duffy to the headmaster.
To the headmaster.
He then gets in trouble, and then Tabby has to come and monitor him in class.
He needed it, honestly. Yeah. Like, you need somebody to, you know, that's what friends are for. Yeah. Like, hey, you gotta stand up on your own two feet.
Yeah, and Gemma told him, you need to get your shit together.
And I love that she said, you know, I've had eggs in my refrigerator longer in this relationship. Because, you know, perspective. Perspective is key.
That was a great line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a really great line. But he gets himself together. I did really enjoy the argument that Tabby and Duffy had in Latin in classroom. That really, I got a D in Latin when it was all said and done, but I do remember some of it. So that was really amazing. Maya is really hating her new job. Mm-hmm. We're hating her job. And she's looking for a new job, and she makes a phone call in the bathroom. Have you guys ever done that to a headhunter?
Not in the bathroom, but I have had opportunity calls in a workplace setting before. I really step outside the office to, like, take those kind of calls.
I have had so many phone interviews in bathroom stalls. Yeah. It's not even, like, I was like, that is so real.
Mm-hmm. She said 60% of our contracts.
Yeah, definitely.
I was like, that's a real moment. I was like, thanks for bringing that out, putting that out in public, Mindy. So for those of us who were walking around afraid to admit that we have job interviews in the bathroom. So Maya doesn't want to, she knows that Andrew wants to, you know, revamp his image because they go out to a dance club. They go out to a gay club.
G-A-Y.
A gay club. And
no, it's called G-A-Y. It's a real club in London called G-A-Y.
Really? Is it really? Yeah. I was wondering if that was real.
Like, it's so obvious. Why did you say G-A-Y? No, that's the name of the club.
Was that a real place?
That's a national club.
Well, but was that the actual club?
That the actual club that we shot on a Monday, and boy, was it smelly during the day. Like, you have to be really smoky and drunk to enjoy it at night, but during the day, it was not cute.
I thought what was so great about, first of all, Tony Tu. Is a dream.
Mm-hmm. He's a genius.
Just a dream.
Nathan.
And so that he confronted Andrew and told him, like, look, everybody calls you LBGT Rex. Mm-hmm. Which, just as an actor, I'm thinking about how hard that must have been to say, because I couldn't even say it right now. Yeah, like, that's really hard. But then I was like, wait a minute. There's something happening between Tony and Andrew.
And I was happy to see that, because I know one of the critiques that I've read about the show is that there was no gay or LGBTQ relationship.
I know,
like,
and the whole time I'm like, hold on.
Yeah, like, give it
time. Show's not over.
Right.
Yeah, so I was happy that, you know, it is in the show and people can stop complaining about that, because it's very much there.
It's also, I think, such an interesting relationship where you have this conservative gay parliamentarian, what are they called?
Politician.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Tony, who's like I am a black, fabulous, you know, gay dude. And like, the one of the things I think we're struggling with in this country is, how do we have civil conversations when we disagree? And so that you have this really interesting chemistry between people who are on opposite sides of their political ideas, I think that's a really beautiful thing to see on mm-hmm. television right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the push that Andrew needed to open up and change his political ideas and which he did.
And to take a risk, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Maya jumps on the opportunity. She's like, let's remake your image. And then here comes Marcus. Marcus, who... Okay, so Marcus is played by Jamie Dimitru. I'm not sure. He's also on another show that I love called Fleabag. And so I want him to just stand there. I love him. Jamie, I love you.
He's so handsome.
He's like six foot three
and just, he plays this like schlubby guy, but he's so handsome.
He really is. And even on the other show, he plays a sort of not attractive dude, but he's a hot guy. but he actually pushes for them to end up in the community center where Cash's play is happening because he knew. Mm-hmm. He knew Cash was going to be there. But then they go, and of course, and Andrew loves it. And so, I don't know. If I were Maya, she wanted to be there. Do you think she could have backed out? Do you think she could have found a way to be like, no, I really can't do this?
I mean, she would have lost her job.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, he kind of threatened her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it wouldn't have been as fun if she'd not been there.
Mm. That's true.
Exactly.
That's true. I think that... I want it to be easier. Like I want them to get together more easily. And so, and I feel like the Sound of Music as the backdrop for a romance is so wonderfully rom-com-y cliche that it just made me happy. Like I was literally singing along with the Sound of Music. I loved it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So here for it.
And she falls in love with him when he's singing the final song. I mean, it's the ultimate rom-com.
Which he sang beautifully, by the way. Yeah, this voice.
Yeah. I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
It's the last 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah, you gotta see it.
Okay, guys. I'm gonna admit that I didn't get to see the last 5 minutes of the show. I know what happens. I have a lot of feelings about what happens. And I'm going to watch it, and I will comment under the show. So, guys, let's get to that moment for a minute and talk about... What were you feeling in that moment? Like, what were you... Like, what was happening for you? Were you squealing?
Well, I was... You haven't seen it, but Bashir is kind of watching it from atop. Because he's, directing, or he's in charge of the lighting.
The lights. He's not doing well, yeah.
And you see them in the background. It's all... They're outlined in a shadow.
They're backstage.
Oh, like Love Actually.
Yeah. But Maya mm-hmm. is the one that really initiated the kiss. I mean, you could tell it was happening, but she gave the first peck.
It's like that forbidden fruit thing. Eventually, yes. She had to take a bite. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I think they're so cute, and it's about time. I'm not sure how that's going to work out in terms of Ainsley and the drama that I'm sure is on its way, but...
Well, let's talk about Ainsley. I mean, Ainsley goes to the botanical... Is it a botanical garden?
Botanical gardens, yes.
With Bryce, mm-hmm. because her job decorating his home ends, but he wants to keep her around.
To do his garden,
which she knows nothing about.
And as opposed to taking him to Home Depot or Lowe's, she goes to the most beautiful botanical garden in all of London.
Right. Which is not in any way romantic.
No.
But I love their whole little exchange about, their most Texas moments mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and the Texas first kiss. Do you think Ainsley was wrong? Like, what was her deal walking away from him?
She's scared.
I mean, I think she felt guilty. Yeah. She's got her little...
She's also still gun-shy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think she, she was hurt by Cash, and it's easier to date this, guy who's clearly lacking a job in the knowledge department.
Honey, he was not lacking in my world.
Oh, no. Okay, wait. Let's just press pause and talk about Garrett and that pretty booty.
Oh, my God. You guys saw episode 5 and we did Love Chalet.
Yes.
And just said that they were wearing Speedos. And I'm like, well, it's going to be freezing. And it was London. And so every day I'm going to work freezing. I'm like, how am I going to get actors to set from the trailer to the set? They're going to freeze. Uggs. So we bought everybody Uggs. And then I'm like, wait, they have to have... Oh, my God. We're going to do Speedos, Uggs, and scarves. And Mindy's like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like, no, it's going to be fabulous. But then I needed to put it on somebody to sell the idea. So my very first fitting was Richard Fleischman.
Wow.
And he walks in, and I hand him the tiniest pink Speedo and Uggs and a scarf. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is fucking... this is genius. Sorry. And it just... Once I showed those pictures to everybody, they're like, yes, do more of this. So then the girls started coming in, and it was bikinis and fur coats, and it just... It, so absurd, but it's so genius. Delicious
yes.
on camera.
So wonderful.
Turned out so
yeah.
well.
But I give total credit to, like, had Richard not been my first fitting and he'd not sold it, I wouldn't have gotten away with it.
Wow. Is that one of your Instagram pictures was you were like, you hold up a little bikini thing for someone and you're like, I made this for an actor today, and he looked at it and was like, what? Was that?
That was for today's nude scene. Oh my god, you totally remember that. Yeah. That was for the nude scene, because I remember, like, I can't even use the words on live because they sort of sound like naughty words, but they're technical words of what we give actors to put on for these nude scenes
to cover the front area,
right.
Or depending on what it is. And so, like, I had you like walk in with this, and they're always horrified, like, and I'm like, it's completely professional. And there's three of us here to help. But yes, that was it.
Oh my god, because I was like, the whole for Garrett's booty. It was a pausable moment. Did you pause? I'm sorry. I don't mean to get all in your business.
I sent him a gift.
I paused.
Nice.
That's awesome. I love that. So, but Ainsley's, you know, she's not slumming it. I don't want to say slumming it with Garrett, but he's an idiot. A beautiful, beautiful idiot.
It's like a golden retriever.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
So I love that, but the moment with Bryce in the botanical garden, it was like she's in that beautiful floral high-low skirt thing with the green jacket.
Ted Baker.
I want everything that
she
wears.
And the headband with the crystals.
I mean, it was just amazing.
Gorgeous.
But it was a beautifully romantic moment, and she walked away, and I was like, no!
She was freaked out.
I know.
She had those feelings, and she was freaked, and soon after, she ends up breaking it off, and I think they're going to end up together.
Yeah, I think I could.
And that's where it's going.
Maybe that's, like, the final
letter. Did you read Garrett's text?
Yeah, though, the you up? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she says no, and then he's like, Ainsley, you up? And she says no, and then he's like, Caroline, you up? She's like, it's still me.
It's like, oh,
like, he's
man.
Just booty calling.
I just such realized, here's the challenge with the show. It's a romantic comedy over many episodes, whereas usually when you're watching a rom-com movie, you get your payoff faster.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like spread over 10 mm-hmm. episodes, and I'm like, I need them to kiss!
But that's how they keep us engaged yes. and wanting
yes.
more. I mean,
I know, but it's just making me a little crazy. Because I want it to all happen, like, right now. Okay, I love that Craig and Zara have everyone over to look at their honeymoon pictures that are all filthy, apparently. I would love to know what, like, the sex in the omelet line moment. How do you do that? What are the logistics of sex in the omelet line?
They're hot and heavy, you know.
I love it, though.
Yeah.
I feel at this point, we can't expect anything less from Zara. I mean, she's giving us all millennial, over-the-top, you know.
She's wonderful. And then we have Gemma packing lunch for her son.
I love that scene.
With caviar. She picks up a bottle of champagne, thinks better of it, puts in a juice box.
Well, she ordered out to, like, you know, some fabulous delivery place. It comes in a basket, and she's, like, being the mom. And
right.
Puts it in. And
I love it. So let's really talk to our friend Salvador. Because we have questions, we have pictures, we need to talk about some things. So let's talk about the two Tonys who work in Ainsley's shop. So there's Tony 1, Tony 2. Tony 1 gets fired. Tony 2 stays around, is about to have this really wonderful thing go down with Andrew. We didn't talk about that. Real quick. Andrew comes to the shop to ask Tony 2 out.
Oh, yeah. And he rejects. Tony rejects at first.
Yeah. I thought that was a really classy move.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. I think, like I said, it's important to have that representation on the show. And sometimes opposites attract. So
yeah.
I think that's the case of what's happening with
yeah.
them.
And I loved the dignity with which Tony was like, I'm not doing this to make you feel better.
But it wasn't until Andrew walked away where Tony realized, okay, maybe his intentions...
Well, it was when they're at the party and Tony asks Maya, yeah. Tony and Maya are talking, and Maya's like, no, he cares about your opinion.
Mm-hmm. You changed
him. And you changed mm-hmm. something for him. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing where that goes, because I love so much about that, too. It's like, it's interracial, intergenerational, interpolitical party. Like, I mean, it's so...
And Mindy talks about the diversity of this cast, and because of who our leads are, but then I'm like, there was a whole other level to it, because with 22 and Andrew, and as a brown gay man, it was beautiful to see this. And I remember, like, I would watch dailies and just cry, because it's so beautiful. Oh, wow. And it's so beautifully done. And I can't say anything else.
Mm. Oh my gosh, you have to come back. Okay, you have to come back.
That might be one of the weddings.
Not anyway.
Okay, let's get to the
we're
going to talk to Salvador when we're done, guys. We're going to see what we can get him to tell us. We might have to torture him a little bit, but I'll do what I have to do for my TV.
I'm sure MGM and Hulu are right outside the door.
So let's pull up the picture of Tony too. He's got the beautiful floral suit on. I am living for this outfit. Okay, this is one of my favorite looks of the entire show. It's the day that Ainsley says, she asked the two Tonys to come in, and Tony 2's like, well, I wasn't doing anything, obviously, because he's like, look at me. What was he coming from? What was the event he was coming from?
That it was a white tuxedo. And so I bought a white tuxedo, and it just, you put it on him, I'm like, he could be anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I said, it has to be over the top. And what do fabulous gay men in London do but go to, like, fabulous parties? So I found this, and it doesn't, I mean, like, the hat is custom. I actually bought an extra vest so that I can make the custom bow tie. It was all about, like, taking this very basic piece and making it fabulous. And Mindy fought me on it, and she's like, oh, it's too over the top. And I'm like, no, the line is, clearly I wasn't doing anything. It had to be spectacular. It couldn't just be a white tuxedo. And so this is just me wanting to put a floral suit on somebody.
And it looks fabulous.
It works. And down to, can we see the shoes that he's wearing, please? Can we see?
The gold shoes.
Those shoes. Woo! I'm loving it.
That is a religious moment for me. Hallelujah,
and
Jesus.
I could not find a pink top hat, so I took a white one and spray painted it. In the office, I got yelled at.
It paid off.
It really did pay. Okay. And I have silver shoes very similar to that. I feel validated now.
And I wanted, if you look at the Tony 2s, they both had to be individual characters. And Tony 1 is like plaid suits and kilts and very sort of avant-garde. And I wanted Tony 2 to be, if you look at the silhouettes and just describe the pieces, he dresses just like Andrew does. But there's color and pattern.
Oh, wow.
That is.
If you look, they're always the three-piece suit. It's exactly, my whole concept was that they dress exactly the same, but they're just, he uses color and pattern, and Andrew's very concerned.
Wow. Which even gives extra weight to Andrew's line, I'm not going to be spoken to by somebody in a mesh shirt.
Top. Yeah.
Right? Salvador, you better stop with this genius. You better stop.
I mean, look, as a costume designer, it's storytelling. So it's like, a lot of times, writers will put in something very, you know, they don't have the fashion vocabulary that I have as a costume designer. So I'll take, like, what is your intent? Okay, now let me make it fabulous.
Right. Yeah, that's your basic intent, but we don't do basic, so let's make it fabulous. So, Mario, what was your favorite look?
Okay, so I was so in love with the dress that Maya wore to Craig and Zara's wedding. Stunning. And I just had to know, like, the background on how you found this piece.
I was shopping. This whole thing is, like, there's four weddings, and so they have to dress for each of the weddings. And then it's not her wedding. It's supposed to be about Zara. Zara has the most elaborate gown in the world. Then I have to have her and everybody else, and how do you make them all look different? So it started with color. Like, what are the different colors? And ironically, the red one-shoulder dress she wears to the dinner party, the engagement dinner, was actually a gown. That was one of the options for this. And I'm like, it's not special enough. I'm going to cut off and make it a dress. And then this came in, and I'm like, it's a little naked. And she's like, I'm okay with naked. And we put it on her, and I'm like, why are we trying anything else on? I mean, it's philosophy. I ordered it from Italy. It came in. There was two of them because I wanted to, because, of course, first day of shooting, people are spilling, because, you know, extras and drinks in a castle.
Right.
And I saw the cranberry juice splash, and I called up and got a second dress. But it was just, it needed heat, you know, Cash Caesar, and she has to be this sort of ethereal goddess. And I thought this was sort of very sort of goddess, you know, Grecian inspired.
Absolutely.
Stunning.
Absolutely. Do we have the red dress too?
We do.
Can we see the red dress?
That was another one of my favorites.
That's Temperley London, and again, it was a pretty dress, and it was a beautiful gown, but it wasn't special. It was like, I said, it's a dinner dress,
yeah.
And that's why I hacked it off.
So you can't see the bottom, and if you didn't notice on the show, go back and rewind it, y'all. But it's another high-low, or is it's a wrap.
It's a trumpet flare, and I did the skirts sort of asymmetrical, yeah.
Oh, gorge!
No, I costume fashion designers probably hate me, but I take their clothes and then recut them and make them better.
Ooh.
It works.
Well, a lot of the time.
I mean, when you can, you can.
I mean, my background is costume construction. On the Mindy Project, I literally took things apart and put them back together. That's why she looks so good, because they were custom made to her body. They were taken apart and then remade for her body.
So you were telling us about this earlier. One of the things that when you first started working with Mindy, you were like, you know, she told you what she wanted, but she couldn't find, and you helped her sort of...
I mean, look, my background, before I was a costume designer, I was a cutter fitter, I was a bridal designer, I built Titanic, I built Stargate, I made clothes. And so as a costume designer, I come to it like, well, how do we make this fit better? And I think that anybody can take the most inexpensive piece of clothing, and if it's cut to fit them better, it looks so much more expensive. And with Mindy, that was the situation. It's like she just defined the right... She's short-waisted, she's longer legs. So the proportions were always off. If they fitted, they were always off. So it was like, no, we're taking it off. We're going to take a big chunk out of here. We're going to sew it back together. And we're going to bring the shoulders in. We're going to make the sleeves more taper. I mean, I think that every woman looks... But any suit you buy off the rack, no matter what size you are, taper the sleeves, you're going to look two sizes smaller.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Wow.
But people just don't do that. And it's like such a basic alteration. But that's my thing, is like, I need clothes to fit like they're custom made.
Yeah. I told you this earlier. One of the reasons I watched the Mindy Project is because of the clothes. Because of her, because I'm obsessed with her, and I've read all her books like 11,000 times, but whatever. But the clothes that Mindy wore in that show, because you don't get to see women who have women's everyday, like, have bodies, like normal bodies, in fabulous clothes. And on that show, every episode was a win, and there was color, and it was, and if you're not a size 2 in this business, you don't get to wear fabulous, beautiful colors. You don't get to wear crazy patterns and whatever. And that so it's a beautiful gift to women of all sizes to get to see.
And it was a gift to be able to do that. I mean, you know, Mindy would start, remember the end of like season 1, we had all these clothes left over, and she's like, oh, there's all these clothes, we're not going to use them. And she's like, oh, I'm going to put a montage in. So she added a montage with like 14 changes. And then she's like, oh, I sort of like that, let's start doing them. And then in one episode of the Mindy Project, she changed 32 times.
Wow.
And mind you, it's a half an hour show.
Yeah.
It's only 22 minutes of film. She changed 32 times.
Yeah.
It was about, we just, and it wasn't with like, here's your t-shirt and jeans, like, here's your dress, your shoes, your jewelry. I mean, it was just, her closets were vast.
Wow.
And she very smartly bought a big chunk of it, because it was all cut to her. And where else in the world is she going to find that much couture to her size?
Absolutely. And I love it. In one of her books, she talks about like going to, you know, photo shoots, and the dresses are not in her size or whatever. And I feel like, power to the people, Mindy. You show them how it's done, girl. So the last piece picture I wanted us to talk about was this skirt. This is the gold skirt that I said I cannot pull off. Tell us about this skirt.
You know, it's funny. There were so many great outfits that are on camera for seconds, and it breaks my heart. I mean, the shirt has little tiny gold crystals on it. The skirt's leather. I don't remember brand. Sorry, it's been a year. But you know, we have and it's. I spent lavishly on things that we saw for minutes, but at the same time, like she came to town early, like 3 months before we started shooting, to look for an apartment. And since we're friends from the Mindy Project, we went shopping and we bought quite a bit of clothes. And then I was able to take her to Suzanne Neville for the bridal gown. And because she came to town early, and we were able to get Suzanne to make that dress, that first wedding gown is spectacular. But it's a 6-month wait. I happen to get, they got to do it for me in 6 weeks because she came early.
Wow. That's a huge turnaround.
Oh my God.
So fast.
So let's talk about what. I'm sorry. I took all the questions.
No,
I didn't let you interrupt.
No, take it away.
I also want to ask you, what is the budget like for. What was your budget for costuming here?
I don't know if I can say. We had,
it was a bougie.
It was. We had 10 episodes, and I spent about $1 million. I mean, there was a lot of labor in that, because there was all of the sewing, and there was a lot of that was labor. But I mean,
He's earned that, you know.
Yeah.
Just so you guys at home know, he worked on Pitch Perfect 1, 2, and 3. He did all the wardrobe, Liz and Dick, The Mindy Project, Goosebumps 2, Think Like a Man 1 and 2, Veronica Mars, Drumline. He worked on Titanic. The list goes on. He's just did 4 weddings. Are you allowed to tell us if you're working on any current projects?
Yeah, actually, I've been working for Mindy Kaling on and off for 8 years. So when this project came up, she's like, I want what you did for the character Mindy LaHire in the Mindy Project for the entire cast. So I was given an edict to make everybody fabulous. And so in order to do that, they had to give me the funds to
make it happen.
To make it happen. Budget. And mind you, on top of that, that sounds like a lot of money. But remember, I had a massive cast. They had probably 1,000 changes. And then I had 4 weddings to do in that. So if you look at it, it's not that much money. I was actually kind of frugal.
Yeah.
$1 million. Four weddings.
Yeah, 4 mass. And the first wedding was 350 people, and I dressed 90% of them.
Wow.
It was, you know, it's and you'll see the next wedding. I dress everybody at the second wedding, too. Because, of course, you can't really see them, but they're like floral suits and sequins and sparkle. And we just, extras came like, here's my nice black suit. I'm like, no, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. But now I'm also working on Mindy's new show called Never Have I Ever that is loosely based on her growing up as an Indian teen in America. And so it's 3 interesting teenage girls at a high school in Sherman Oaks.
Here for it.
You will be watching.
Oh, I will be.
It's
definitely
pretty fun.
Yeah.
And can you speak on like finding, you know, your team in London? Because I know you mentioned that was a little bit difficult.
It
for
was,
you
know, I think it was a gift. The job was a gift from the universe. A friend of mine had met a brand liaison getting her nails done, and she's like, "Oh, a friend of mine's a cosmetologist. You should know him." And so she gave me her number. I sort of called her, like, you know, what brands you work with, how do we work, and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the conversation, I'm like, by the way, do you know anybody? Because I'm looking for crew. And she's like, oh, my best friend Hannah Campbell is an assistant. She works for Annie Hardy. And so she gave me Hannah's number. And we bonded on the phone in the first meeting. And her best friend was available to supervise. And the team just sort of grew from there. And Hannah is a stylist in London, turned assistant costume designer. So she knew every single store in London. And, you know, in L.A., we're spoiled. There's studio service. I know whoever Macy's. I've been shopping in this town for 20 years. I know, like, the back of my hand. I went to London as a tourist. I knew Harrods. And I foolishly thought that I'm going to spend... I didn't go to Harrods. That's not true. I bought gloves at Harrods one time. Because it's not really for shop fashion. It's for tourists. But Hannah knew, like, every dress shop. And, you know, we would walk into every store, and the salespeople would hug her. I'm like, oh, this is a good sign. Because you need that sort of support. Wow. But, you know, I was at... I mean, we would go to Selfridges, fill up the car to capacity, drive it to the studio, and then drive back. And we had so much clothes.
Wow.
So much clothes. It just didn't end.
I love it.
That sounds like my dream life. Nice. So, Eric, you and Salvador knew each other.
Yeah,
each
so
other before
he's
we came here.
A big reason of why I was able to come to L.A. He gave me my first job here on the Mindy Project.
Wow.
So, he was my PA month.
I worked with him on Pitch Perfect 3 and in Atlanta. That's where I'm from. And I'm like, I've always wanted to move to L.A., and he's like, well, why do it?
Yeah, don't talk about it. Come now. I'll give a job.
So, that is so great.
Yeah, that is an amazing...
This is a very, very surreal moment for me. That's why I'm kind of just taking it all in.
It's so... I do, too. I have all the, like, warm fuzzies now. Guys, we're out of time. We've gone too long. We have so much more to discuss. We're going to see if Salvador will come back. I'm not going to, like, put him on the spot right now.
But I'm going to Hulu jail.
But, guys, it was really great to hang out with you again. I'm Nikki Bailey. You can find me on all the social medias at @NikkiBailey_Marielle.
Hey, guys, you can find me at @Marielle_Turner on all social media.
Eric?
You guys can find me at Eric Sinsley on all social media. And where can we find you?
Instagram, Salvador Perez Costumes.
It's been a blast, AfterBuzzers. We'll be back here next Wednesday night. Please join us for AfterBuzz TV.
Good night, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.